Okay, welcome to the Payments and Cards Network podcast. Today on the show, we are joined by Stefan Vollett. Stefan is a fintech advisor and consultant. He's got a fantastic track record of working on all sorts of fintech projects around the world. And he's going to give us an insight into what he does. Stefan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Good morning.
Stefan, I really wanted to do this with you because unlike I think all of our guests to date, they're all employed by relatively large companies. You're somebody who, as a freelancer, as a consultant, is able to work for whatever company you choose, and you have the freedom to move between them. And I think that's a really intriguing area for our audience, many of whom might like the idea of doing that one day themselves, but perhaps are a bit worried about some of the risks it entails. But there's a lot of upside to it as well. So I think we'll start where we normally start, Stefan. Do you mind just telling our audience about your background and how you came into the world of payments and fintech? I know you started at Adyen, which is always a brilliant company to talk about, major Dutch success story, omni-channel payments company, a great place to start out in the world of payments. So please share with our audience how all this came to be.
Yeah, so my initial background used to be in software engineering and telecom engineering. So I used to work as a software engineer, working building applications, mobile applications, websites, and also in telecom engineering. So designing 2G, 3G, 4G networks. And at some point, I decided to move to Holland and to study accounting. And it occurred to me that the perfect combination of accounting and technology must be payments. So I was introduced to the head of alternatives of Adyen back then and was chosen to join the internship program. I wrote my bachelor thesis about direct debits at Adyen and had the privilege to go through the entire growth curve with the company and the team. By the time I joined, there were around 100, 120 people. So there was still a very agile culture, which allowed me to move between departments to solve all kinds of problems that popped up. So really become a kind of payments ninja with full exposure to all kinds of problems across an acquirer and payments processing. And also I had the privilege to join the international team. So we're exploring Asia Pacific, Middle East, and also Latin America, the US. Eventually I was asked to moved to Latin America to help building up the Mexican operation and to support Latin America payments processing. So eventually I left as in the role of VP Global Expansion around the time of the IPO. And since then I have been working as a contractor, consultant, or more or less as advisor, very hands-on advisor for very early stage ventures. So mainly I focus on assisting founders to achieve product market fit and to create the foundation of their companies. So you might think of system design, licensing, compliance issues, organization building. And that's really my main activities since for the past 2 years.
Great. So Adyen, that is quite a university of payments for you to come up in. Quite a lucky time to be in the game. And I can see how that's catapulted you into this world of more freelance payments consulting and advising. So I believe you're in Mexico City today. I know well travel is very typical for you. What kind of thing are you working on there?
Yeah, I used to be based in Mexico City about 2 or 3 years ago for Adyen. And I was introduced back then to two founders, really smart guys, named Jose Chavez and Ingo Arshad, who started working on a really interesting fraud prevention venture using machine learning to tackle the biggest problem in Latin America, which is low acceptance and high chargeback rates. Once they heard that I'm available in the market, they just picked up the phone and gave me a call and asked me if I would be available to help them build this venture and to achieve a bit of a product innovation compared to what's currently available in the market and to help them gain initial traction in the market and to really set the foundation of the company that they have been working on back then. So at the moment, we're now at a stage that there's real traction, that we have proven the product can work in different verticals. So for lending, for fraud prevention, we just signed one of the largest PSPs here locally. And yeah, there's now real traction and dynamic. So we're working towards funding. And that's really why I'm here at the moment.
It's very exciting. One of the reasons we wanted to get you on the show, Stefan, is I think a lot of our audience will be working for larger payments companies, fintech companies, and may have aspirations of becoming an independent consultant one day, but are perhaps a little bit worried about the risks it entails, maybe the excessive travel, the need to constantly find the next gig. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you as a consultant are able to so consistently line up new projects, new advisory positions? How do you make that happen for yourself year on year?
Yeah, so it depends a bit on how you want to position yourself. So I myself, I'm not so keen on short-term projects. I really like this process of venture building. So I always look for gigs that are actually multi-year engagements. So I think that's very important that you have your plan and also kind of your work preferences scoped out so that you know how you like to work and then find projects that match your preference. And also it's really, many of your projects probably come from your personal network. So people you know, people you work with, and if you do a great job, they always come back to you. Another thing that's very important is also to build and manage your network. So there are plenty of fintech consultancies that you could plug into. And those guys, they go for huge RFPs, like helping an enterprise to select a payments gateway or helping to roll out a new market. So it depends a bit on your preference of how you like to work. I personally really like this long-term engagements from the start, taking something from start to finish. And I think that's really the way to go.
Yep, fully agreed. And the most rewarding. And of course, you learn the most when you do it from A through Z as well. So why not give us an example of an A through Z start to finish project that you've worked on in the past and really bring that to life for us?
Okay. I've joined one venture based in the US where I supported the build-up of the international strategy. Really going from the point at which the venture decided that they would like to explore international. So how do you do it? What is the gap analysis? What do you need to do? Which kind of product gaps might we have to fill? What are the requirements to go international from a compliance perspective? And then working through this process collaboratively with the founders and the wider team to explore what it really takes and if the venture or the organization is actually ready to go international. And that's really interesting. And it's a very, very cool journey also for the whole team to discover what it really takes. And sometimes you also find that, yeah, maybe we're not yet ready to go international. Or you find that you actually have to really spend time on building a compliance framework first, also consider your funding, your next funding round. So that's, these are really interesting and fun part of like those projects.
Hey, this is Jonathan from Block Data. FYI, 40% of big companies will invest at least $5 million into blockchain initiatives this year. Block Data helps these companies understand what's going on through market intelligence on the blockchain ecosystem. If you'd like to find out more, just Google Block Data.
Absolutely. I've got to ask the question because there's always a downside in whatever career path we choose. What are some of the challenges of being an international consultant like yourself? Where does it get tough? Where has there been moments where you thought, oh, it might just be easier to work for a big corporation with a nice big job title? Tell us about some of the more difficult times.
Yeah, so I think at first the traveling aspect is something that's very sexy and something that's very attractive to everyone to see the world as a consultant. But over time it gets really tiring, especially also if you're married. So you need to manage the expectations with your family, especially if you're away for an extended period of time. So these things become difficult, and these are things that you need to consider. Also, if you have several gigs in parallel, you need to make sure that you set your time budgets correctly so that you meet the expectations, because those organizations, they want to go full steam, right? They want to achieve their investor milestones, and you need to be able to support these on a strategic level, but also on a day-to-day execution level, supporting the team hands-on. But they really need to make sure that you calculate your time budget well. And when you have multiple projects that you work on, and also the number of projects that you have in parallel might be quite difficult to handle. So if you need to switch between projects multiple times during the week, so you don't have like 2-3 days consistent focus time, can get really difficult. That is something to consider. And of course, also each project itself could be a bit of a challenge. So each company has their own dynamics, their own organizational preferences. And you need to make sure that you understand and fit in, and that you can achieve the goals that you promise when you join such projects within the organizational limitations.
Yep. I think what stood out for me there, though I don't do it to nearly the same extent that you do, but all the flights, all the travel, it's fun the first 2 or 3 times, and then it really loses its appeal. Even if you are lucky enough to travel business, it's still exhausting. Going between hotels and spending 10 hours on an airplane, it gets old quickly. But you have to find a way to overcome that as well. Something that went through that answer also was venture capital or investment money. You're someone who's been very close to that side of things because you're involved in early stage startups. You have to have a very intimate knowledge of where that money's coming from and what it's used for. Tell us a little bit about the trials and tribulations of getting early stage funding in a fintech startup. How do you do it? What's the best way to go about it? What are some of the things to avoid?
Yes, happy to provide some insights there. One part of the activities that I pursue is helping founders to prepare their ventures for funding or to make sure they meet their investor goals. That's actually quite tough and always creating a bit of heat, since you, of course, have sales milestones, organizational milestones. Additionally, the fundraising process itself is quite a challenge. So some founders struggle to prepare for raising capital. So building a good pitch deck, telling the story, building accurate and realistic financial forecasts. And then the other part, of course, is the raising itself. So the outreach to investors. So who should you get? How do you reach your investors? How do you validate that your business is actually interesting for that specific investor? And so this is something where I assisted several ventures now to go through this process. And also, as you might know, Jordan and Tom Greenwood and myself have started working on an open banking venture named Bold Open Banking.
Yes, I was going to bring this one up. I'm glad you've come to it. Please share with us. It's Vault, I believe.
Yes, exactly. Vault Open Banking. So, I've been actively working on alternative payment methods for a long time, and it turns out there are many more people very excited about open banking. And we thought, PSD2 is perfect opportunity to also migrate a bit from consulting towards entrepreneurship. So very recently, we went through fundraising ourselves. We have now an early stage pre-seed investor for this open banking venture, where we also want to go global and connect TPPs and be really a PSP for merchants and other PSPs, a gateway to open banking globally. That's pretty much the idea behind it. And we have seen already very substantial demand in the market, and have received really good feedback. So that's of course the ultimate goal for many people who leave their corporate job and go into consulting. For many of them, the goal is not consulting, but really the transition to entrepreneurship, being their own master.
The PCN podcast is brought to you by Payvision. When it comes to payments, Payvision don't mess around. They live and breathe payment processing, from design and integration to delivery and checkout, and everything in between. The dedication to their products shows. That's why they're so happy to support merchants with exactly the kind of payment solutions they're looking for.
Yes, this is definitely something I had a pre-prepared question on. I think being a consultant or freelance advisor really gives you the knowledge, contacts, and resources to become an entrepreneur. I think a lot of people want to be an entrepreneur as soon as they possibly can, and some people are brilliant and lucky and they get to do that. A more tried and tested route is to spend a few years doing what you're doing, gaining those resources to probably have more chance of success when you do decide to set something up. Let's just elaborate on that for a moment. What kind of skills, resources, contacts does being a consultant give you, and how do you think it enables you to become an entrepreneur and set up your own company? You gave the great example of Vault, which is a company you're helping launch right now. Tell us more about how it has enabled you to do that.
Yeah, so by the time when I left Adyen, I felt like, I learned from the best, and I already knew quite a fair bit about payments and the world, but my objective really was to learn more about all the pieces of the payments value chain that I didn't know about or didn't know enough about, like ranging from compliance to fraud prevention to real card scheme rules. And this was really my objective when I decided to freelance, to fill those knowledge gaps and to really understand the payments value chain from the merchant to the gateway to the card schemes and the issuer. And I have accordingly chosen my project. So I worked on the acquirer, I worked on an issuing bank, I worked on fraud prevention, AML, KYC. And over the course of the time, you really get a much better sense of how everything fits together and also how maybe some more difficult industries like high-risk gaming, gambling work. And I think having this complete picture of the payments landscape really enables you to spot opportunities. And it also enables you to really understand what it takes to build a venture, not only technically, but also from a paperwork compliance perspective. And also maybe to get excited about some of the things you didn't enjoy that much before or thought were really boring, like compliance, which actually turns out to be really interesting and an area where there's so much more innovation left to be done. And I think going through this self-discovery is very important, and also to build your network along the way. Maybe sometimes you will recognize that there are different paths to solve the same problem. And that's really interesting to work with engineers who have different technical approaches to build the same thing or to solve the same problem. I think that for me was really one of the greatest learnings and the most interesting things that I discovered during my time as consultant. And I think this greatly helps in venture building because you will save a lot of time for building the foundation of your company. You already understand how to organize a development team. You have a better picture of how you will need to build a sales channel and payments, who you need to sell to, and also how you raise funds. So I think this is one of the big advantages that we have with open banking, that all of us are very experienced and we already know what we actually need to do.
Introducing your one-stop shop to the Anglo-Dutch market. On the 20th of February, the British Embassy in The Hague will organise its biggest cyber and fintech bilateral trade event ever, the Cyber Fintech Summit 2020. Join them for an exciting programme of leading officials, investors and companies. Meet over 70 exciting startups and network with up to 1,000 attending movers and shakers in the sector. Don't let this opportunity pass you by and sign up for free before the end of January at uktech.nl/CFS2020. That's uktech.nl/CFS2020.
Stefan, tell us a little bit about Slimmer AI. I see that you put it on your LinkedIn recently. I was just perusing there, of course. Please tell us about what that company is doing.
Yes, so Slimmer AI is a really exciting company. I was invited to join about 2 months ago. It used to be a small project-driven AI, AML, AI machine learning research company. I'm working very closely with the University of Groningen. And a few months ago, they were asked by a PSP to build a custom AML detection solution, meeting the central bank requirements of Holland. And it turned out the product was really fantastic. So within 4 or 5 months, they have built a fully compliant AML solution for that PSP. And at the same time, they were closing funding and the investors decided, well, let's just completely pivot to AML and KYC. And at this point, I was invited to join them to help a bit with the product roadmap and also balancing the short-term and long-term goals, how to transition from one customer to multiple financial institutions that need to be run on the platform. Also team building. So really exciting what those guys are building. I think there's so much innovation left to be done in AML and KYC. Automating this for different types of ventures in the area, in Benelux area, and then later Europe-wide. And that's a bit where I support how to actually design a venture for internationalization and also helping with the product roadmaps. So how do you need to pivot towards a modular architecture? How do you move from a project-driven organization towards like Scrum development cycles? And also supporting the continuous validation with external experts. So it's really fun to work there. There are lots of brilliant, brilliant engineers. I think currently 40 or 50 people, everyone hugely smarter than myself. So it's great fun to work there and to help building this venture.
Wow, that's grown quickly. I never knew it was 40 plus already and had that relationship with one of the big universities here. Exciting times. Where can people find out more about this company, Slimmer AI?
So of course, we just relaunched our new website. And there's of course also the head of the whole team, which is Jos van Houten. So if you're looking to find a new solution for your AML and KYC, just drop us a note. We're happy to drop by and have a conversation.
Love it. Cool. Yes, I know you're a big proponent of open banking. I think you're part of the Open Banking Network? Is that a conference circuit, or what is that organization?
Yeah, so that's correct. There are a couple of people who have teamed up to work on the Open Banking Network. Openbanking.world is our domain. The idea is to connect thought leaders, founders, regulators from around the world to discuss open banking. At the moment, we're at very early stages, so we are just launching our podcast. So if anyone else is interested in being interviewed for open banking, it would be great if you reach out. And we also want to host an event, a launching event in Amsterdam, where we are looking to bring together some speakers from the industry and to discuss the current state of open banking and where it's going. Our idea behind that was as well that we rather want to create a forum that's really run by payments people and not leaving it to like non-payments related organizations just hosting events. So we really want to create something that's by payments people for payments people.
I love it. And I've just remembered, I think one of our former interns, a marketing intern, he's actually performing some marketing support work for your conference, for the Open Banking Network conference. So that's wonderful news. And it's a very small world in payments, especially in Amsterdam. I believe you've made Amsterdam your de facto home, Stefan. Why don't you tell our more global audience, plenty of UK and US listeners, what is special about Holland or Amsterdam as a place to live and to work in fintech?
Yeah, I think Amsterdam has a bunch of advantages. So it's multicultural, it's really fast-paced. There are a lot of companies which have the European or global headquarters there. So you see all kinds of also early adopter ventures. For instance, I remember blockchain ventures were popping up at very early stages in Amsterdam. I think the regulatory framework is very clear. Some feel it's a little bit tough, but it is a great spot to build your venture if you want to be ready for global conquest. Because if you manage to build a company in Holland or London, everybody knows you're fit for the world. So I think that's a great aspect there. And also the supply of talent. So there are lots of smart people also working on cutting edge technology. So the education system is extremely good. You have a lot of machine learning, AI studies and engineers where other countries are lagging behind by years. And I think this combination of having a really clear regulatory framework, a really good lifestyle, quality of life, this talent and this innovation-driven economy, it's a really great point to start your venture from.
Oh, yeah. So any top fintech talent in the UK worried about Brexit? I think you need to consider Amsterdam as the next place to be. It does have it all. But Stefan, we've touched on a current advisory position you're doing. We've looked at a company that you're co-launching. We've looked at your background. You've told us a bit about some of the trials and challenges of being an international consultant. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, so I think you just pointed your finger on one of the things that I think if you're international, you also really need to make sure you have a partner you can work with in many aspects. So actually someone who helps you find your new gigs if you're moving, which is also how I got to know PCN, the Payments and Cards Network, and yourself. I think it's really important to build your network in that area as well. So local people who are extremely well connected and can help you find the next gig. And also to consider that sometimes as a consultant, if you get into a company and venture, sometimes you're asked to build new teams or to find additional knowledge to plug gaps in the current team. And then it's a great to reach out to Team PCN. So as we're working together as well.
Well, thank you very much for that shout out, Stefan. I'm glad we've been of assistance to you in the past, helping you get your foot in the door on one or two projects. And it's been a wonderfully mutually beneficial relationship. So that is Stefan Vollett, world-class payments consultant and advisor. Stefan, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
The Payments and Cards Network podcast is brought to you by our friends and sponsors, PayVision. PayVision, when it comes to payments, they don't mess around. They live and breathe payments processing, from design and integration to delivery and checkout and everything in between. Check out payvision.com. We are also brought to you by Block Data. Block Data is an Amsterdam-based cryptocurrency research firm. They help investors get involved in the world of cryptocurrency safely and securely. Check out blockdata.tech for more information about them. Thanks for joining today's show. We'll see you again next time.